this right here, it's all God. Cause by ourselves, we would have jacked it up, messed it up, walked away, given up. But because of God, we're standing here 49 years. Only God. And saying it with all our heart, there was the divorce word. There was the walk away word. There was the leave word. There was I want somebody else word. There was all that kind of stuff. But God. So I know what God can do. And so I can stand here right now and I just partner with you that God is doing great things. You know, we don't know how the story is going to end. But if God's in charge of it, it's going to be a great thing. So right now, we just want to welcome the man of God as we stand. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
We're seeing some of the prophetic word that God has spoken coming to pass over our lives. But mainly as I sat there, I was like looking at things that have been spoken over Pastor David. I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, here it is. It's right here in front of my very eyes. You guys, hold on to the word that God has given you. Sometimes it seems so far away, but remember, it's far away because you have to be a prepared person to receive what God wants, because he doesn't want us to mess it up, give it up, or abandon it once he has given it to us. But we thank God for the man of God. And who but knows, you know, we've been talking about kingdom, aiming at the kingdom. And who but knows in this season, at this time, that when we went there, that was the word that they was so excited about. They was like, we haven't heard this. We thank God for this. We thank God for this kingdom word. And who but knows that we're already going through it. But when we got there, that was something that was just to them. It was meat. It was just exciting. And so we just thank God for the word of God. And I thank God, you guys, if you go on there and listen to Pastor David, ladies, I would love for you to go and make sure you listen to the sermon he preached about Deborah. I was sitting up there saying, oh, yeah. But the sermon he preached about Deborah, Rise Up Women, I want y'all to go listen to that, because you're going to learn a lot about Deborah and why God, Mother Allen said it's on YouTube, okay? She knows she didn't already listen a couple times. But I want you guys to listen, because sometimes we don't realize the input, and sometimes we will back up when we should be standing in what God has told us to say and do. And that it is a help, no matter how the enemy makes us feel like it's not a help. God said we were helpmates. And we got to walk in it. And sometimes what we do, we'll say, forget it. You don't want to hear me? It's not about them hearing you. It's about them hearing God. And as long as we don't get in the flesh, God can help the spirit. Does not go out void, but it does accomplish what God has called it to do. And I want you guys to really listen to that sermon about Deborah. I think it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you, and it's going to encourage you to walk in your destiny, walk in your calling, walk in who God has called you to be, all right? Every single woman has something within you that God has called you to powerfully do. And so let's listen to that, and let's rise up. Let's rise up. We got work to do, guys. Ladies, we got work to do. We can't be stuck in no petty stuff. We can't be stuck in no stuff that's oh, woe me. God has called us to a great ministry. And we, ladies, it's time for us to rise up and do what God has called us to do. One more time, thank God for our Apostle David.
Amen, amen, amen. Woo! God is so good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, your matchless name, God. There's none like you. Lord, we come before you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your goodness, Lord, that even allowed us to be here this morning. Thank you for everyone that's in the room, those that are online. And we ask you right now, Lord, to let your spirit be in our midst. Lord, we thank you for the time of worship. Lifting up your name, God, and even the times of prayer, Lord, casting all our cares upon you. But now we come to your word, and we ask you, Lord, to quicken our thoughts, prepare our hearts, our minds, and most of all our spirit, man, to hear what you're saying unto us, your church. Lord, we bind everything that's not like you. every distraction, God, every hindrance, Lord, everything that would try to take our attention away from what you're saying to us, including myself. Lord, move me out of the way. Lord, that your spirit can speak clearly, Lord, to those places that need to be spoken to. Lord, encourage, uplift, Lord, and let us be able, Lord, to apply your word to our living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Amen. It's definitely so good Amen. To be back in Oak Harbor. Amen. It's funny because even how they say Oak Harbor. You know, one of them was saying, you know, because we say Oak Harbor. You know, we just kind of smash our words together, you know, but you know, it's funny to say Oak Harbor. See? Man, they're from Oak Harbor, Washington. Amen. And it's good to see everybody that's here. Amen. As we come in the name of Jesus, very, very glad to be here. Humbled so much so. So much so. So, you know, it's just thinking about all that God, you know, did over this last 3 weeks and all these things that he has dumped into us and showed us. Amen. I was telling Reverend Dawkins when he picked us up, I said, where do we begin? You know, he said, the beginning. I said, well, I guess that makes sense, you know. But it's just so much that, you know, time does not allow. Amen. As Pastor Lindy just articulated just some of what we experienced, you know, and it was all God. I mean, we were just in awe and just truly blown away, you know, because, you know, going into, you know, this trip, especially the Kenya side of it, you know, things were a little, you know, the original plan, you know, had some hiccups in it, you know, and there was the thought at one point, maybe we just need to, you know, not go. And I said, no, that's not what God said. We're going, and we're going to trust him to work it out. And boy, did he work it out. Boy, did he go before us. I mean, just, you know, say, okay, God, you keep proving yourself over and over again. Not that you need to prove yourself, but you just keep showing how good you are. The greatness, you know, that you bring into our lives. So what we want to do, I mean, because this week we're going to be heading to Virginia, but when we get back, we want to set a time that we can just come and talk about, you know, things that God revealed, things that God showed us, amen, and some direction that he's dropped in our spirit, amen, because truly, you know, I say, you don't come back the same. Amen. Amen. You don't come back the same. But, you know, one of the aspects of what I saw there, amen, and want to bring back here, you know, is coming right out of what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. And Pastor Linda just kept on touching on it. And I haven't told her what I'm talking about either. So, but she kept touching on it. I've been hearing all morning, you know, just that confirmation, you know, of what God is saying. Because we serve such a good God.
Yes, we do.
I mean, he sees and he knows. And sometimes, you know, we don't even grasp it. We don't even, you know, it's hard to comprehend. When I saw, you know, at one point, you know, after I had spoken on the second Sunday, you know, and I did the altar call, and all the people that came, I mean, everybody just came to the altar. And I mean, I looked into the faces of so many, and my heart was just, I can't say it was heavy, but it was so moved. Just the hunger and the desire and the want of God. You know, they even after Pastor Linda kept asking, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? But I was messed up. I was just so in a good way. You know, it was just, you know, I'm like, my God, you got so much work that needs to be done. You know, and it's just not there. It's here too.
Yes.
Amen. So much to be done. Amen. And I thank God for the Bible study that we're going through, because it digs into some of those areas that really need to be, you know, approached and you know, addressed. So we thank God for that, you know. But, you know, as we, like I said, we got so much that we want to share, amen. Unless you say Adonai, he's like, we're driving. He said, you know, Apostle, I want to buy you some land, you know, so you can build a church. And I said, well, that's great, you know. But we'll wait and see what God is saying. Like I said, what God is saying, you know. So we're going to see what God is doing in this whole thing. But it's all God, amen. And we thank him for that, you know. But so we got videos and pictures and all those things that we want to share. But I want to direct your attention to, you know, scripture that, you know, kind of highlights one of the aspects, you know, that one of the takeaways. So someone asked me, what was your number one takeaway? Well, this is one of them. I mean, there were so many, you know, but if I was to ask us today, amen, ask any of us today, are you grateful? Are you grateful? Most people, whether in the church, out of the church, will probably say, grateful for what? Be more specific. Right? I mean, we like, what you talking about? You know, because, you know, we look at something specific or something special or, you know, but are you grateful? That's the topic of our message this morning. And I want us to think about, you know, that being grateful. It's a question that, you know, sometimes, you know, when it comes, like I said, we want grateful for what, you know. But the premise is this, that I know for where I'm at, you know, is that I have come to a place, not that I haven't been, but it's been so accentuated, you know, by this experience that I can't help but be grateful for everything. Everything. Amen. The good, the bad, you name it. Amen. It's because even through the difficulties that we go through and the challenges that we go through, those things have been designed in a way, if we allow God to have his way in it, to make us better. Right. You know, I think about, like she said, you know, 49 years, but if it had been left up to us, amen, we would have destroyed it because we sure tried. But I'm grateful that God didn't let us have our way. Because he saw down the road what he wants to do, amen. And not just for us, but for our children, for the kingdom, for all these things. So it's, again, I want you to recognize that it's not about us. All we are is God's handiwork. We're like a tool out of the toolbox, amen, that he chooses to use whenever he needs to use it, amen. And I just want us to be available. How about you? Amen. Yeah, so for what God is doing. But asking that question, are you grateful? Amen. And to be grateful, it really is a lot to being grateful. There's a lot to, you know, having that mind to be grateful for everything. Because someone might say, well, I can think about some things in my life I'm not grateful for. Did you get through it? Huh? No weapon formed against you. Amen. So we think about that. But when I look at the conditions that we witnessed and we experienced, you know, in Kenya, you know, and in Nairobi and in Mombasa and in Tika, you know, I can't help but think how much we don't realize how blessed we are. We don't realize how blessed we are. So, you know, again, right in the car, we're talking about so many things. And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, different things, you know, the Lord dropped in my spirit, you know, and I shared it with, again, as we were riding, and I said, we don't have the right to complain. Now, some of y'all might want to take me to task on that, and that's okay, because I'm ready for you. I'll say, I'm ready for you, because we are so, and I'm talking about in general people in the U.S., not just the church, but in the church. Out of the church, it doesn't matter. We are so quick to complain while we're sitting watching our 65-inch TV, you know, and with our feet on our coffee table with the fan or the air conditioning going and, you know, whatever we want to eat set on the side and, you know, and we'll still complain because we're not comfortable enough. We'll complain because we don't have the latest cell phone. We'll complain because somebody didn't call us on the phone. We'll complain because they walked past us and didn't say, praise the Lord. We are easy to complain about so many things. I don't have nothing in my closet to wear. Joker, you got a closet. Huh? You know, we were in places where they didn't even have a bathroom in the house. And we are so quick to make everything about us, about ourselves, about our comfort, about our wants and our needs. And we are so easy to complain rather than be grateful. Yes, yes, yes. So I ask the question, are you grateful? Because we got a lot to be grateful for. Got a whole lot to be grateful for. And I thank God, amen, because truly, if it had not been for the Lord, amen, we could be in a place of destitute as well. But God said no. You know, so when I think about being grateful, amen, to be grateful means you're full of gratitude. Amen. And when was the last time we actually paused and thought about how much gratitude we have for this person or that person, or the job that we have, or the home that we have, or the car that we drive, or, you know, the clothes that we have? When have we really paused and thought about how, just have some gratitude unto the Lord for how he has blessed us? I know I wasn't going to come to shout at you this morning, but I didn't come to make it. So I really want to impart this mindset that we need to learn how to be grateful. Hear what I said? Learn how to be grateful in everything. Because, you know, like I said, to be grateful means you have a gratitude for what God has done. Amen. Gratitude for what other people have done for you. Gratitude for the job, amen, and the paycheck, and, you know, and I can go on and on. Amen. But to have that gratitude, but in order to have gratitude means you have a great attitude. When I look at the word gratitude, it's two words jammed together. Great attitude. So how's your attitude? Great. I like that. Great. You know, and you know, I've gotten a habit for many years now. People ask me, how you doing? I'm saying, I'm doing great. Awesome. Because I recognize that I could be doing so much better no matter how my day is going. It could be worse. Just tell somebody next to you, it could be worse. It could be worse. And we can't even imagine it. And we don't even want to imagine it. But somebody's best, you know, is something you wouldn't even accept. Hello? Yeah, but you know, I often say if we was to just take a bucket and just put everybody's problems in the bucket, mix them up, and just let you pull them out at random, amen. Right? And you look at it, and you know, you'd be saying, who got my problem? I want my problem back. I just give me mine. No, you can't keep mine. You can have this. And I'm saying that because our problems, our challenges are custom made for us. Amen. No matter how difficult they might be, no matter how crazy they might be, they're custom made for us because God is the orchestrator of all things. You know, and the more we yield to him, the easier it is for him to navigate us through those times and those seasons of life. But when we resist him, you're on your own. And that makes it even more difficult. You know, so we got to work on having a great attitude. And most of us, amen, may know, you know, how it is said, you know, your attitude determines what? Your altitude. You know, so if you find yourself down in the dumps, always pull my, oh, woe is me, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, you need to check. You need to check how grateful you are. You know, y'all thought I was going to say attitude, but no. See, because in order to have a good attitude, you got to have some gratitude. In order to have gratitude, you got to know how to be grateful. So it goes back to being grateful. Learn how to be grateful. Practice being grateful. You know, intentionally purpose to be grateful, even when things are difficult, even when things are hard. And that's how we develop an attitude that is attractive to the world. Because we recognize that all that we have, it comes from God. Yes. It's only because of God, amen, that we have what we have and we're where we are. You know, we were over there, and, you know, Pastor Linda looked, and she made a statement. You know, she said, it's, you know, I look around, and I think about, you know the slaves and all the things that took place. But how did you say it? Maybe we were brought there to be able to go back and be a help? You know, and I thought about that, and I was thinking about that. And then I'm talking to my grandson, you know, talking with Trey yesterday, you know, about, you know, some of the things he's doing and you know, and some of the, you know, things we experienced. You know, and he was telling me, you know, you're so right. That's so right. And he said, because I was talking to one of my African friends over here, and what she told me is oftentimes some, you know, many look at, you know, the African Americans in America as Josephs.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Josephs that have got comfortable in Egypt.
Yes.
And ain't sending nothing back home. It's a concept you got to wrap your mind around.
Right.
You know, because many of us that know the story of Joseph, he was sold into slavery. Amen. And he went through a lot. But God raised him up and made him second to Pharaoh, second to only Pharaoh. And when the opportunity presented itself, he was able to be a blessing to his people. You know, so I look and I say, there's just so much that's going through this little head of mine. You know, that God has, it's just dumped on it. But when we, like I said, if you find yourself down, and I'm just saying it, you need to check yourself. No matter what it is. Because if you stop and just look at everything else going on in your life, you look at everything else that God has blessed you. See, we get tripped up over one thing or one person. When we got so many other things that we can be thankful for.
Yes.
So many other things we can be thankful for. And then we got to pause and say, what am I doing with what I have? Am I willing to be a blessing? Am I willing to do the work of the kingdom of God? Or is my life just about me? Am I the center of my universe? Because if you are, it's a very small universe. But when we look beyond ourselves and we begin to look at what we can do for others. Now, I'm not just talking about overseas, right here in the U.S. of A.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Neighbors, co-workers that don't know God, don't know the goodness, don't know joy, don't know peace. Amen. And we got all this on the inside and we joining in with their pity party. And we're getting wrapped up with the politics and we're getting wrapped up with all these things rather than demonstrating King Jesus and all his love and his glory that he wants to operate in us and through us. We got to ask ourselves, are we grateful? Are you grateful? I'm grateful. Just to say it, I'm grateful. But, you know, I want to, you know, bring your attention to a text that really illustrates one of the things that, you know, talking about one of the mindsets that are in the world, including the church. Amen. So let's go to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. Story about 10 lepers. Amen. Starting at the 11th verse, and it said, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show thyself yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He said, just go show yourself to the priest. See, as they went, as they were obedient to go, because they wanted something, they asked, and he granted them their wish, their desire, their prayer. And he said, just go, because in those times, if you were a leper and you were cleansed, then you would have to show yourself to the priest, and the priest would have to verify you were being cleansed before you would be released from the leper colony to be able to go back into society. So he's following the protocols of the law. He said, go show yourself to the priest so the priest can do their part. Then, you know, deem you clean and you can go on. So they receive what they wanted.
Yeah.
Right? And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of them.
One.
One. 10%. Come on. 1 out of 10. Paused and said, you know what, hold up. All of a sudden, this man felt some gratitude. He was grateful that he was cleansed. He wasn't just going to go and say, I'm cleansed. Now I can just go in society. I can do whatever I want, and I'm freed from this plague, and I'm good to go. But he paused and he recognized that Jesus had did something for him that he couldn't do for himself. See, gratefulness says that he didn't have to do it, but he did. I couldn't earn it, but he did it anyway. Maybe I didn't deserve it, but look at me now. You know, gratitude says, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't have earned it, I couldn't have done it, but it was God that made a way, that blessed me with this job, blessed me with whatever it might be. I look, and sometimes we say, well, I got this by the sweat of my brow. He said, I'm the one that gives you the ability to gain wealth. I'm the one that gives you the breath you breathe, the strength of your body, the activity of your limbs. You ain't did nothing on your own. Every single one of us is one heartbeat away from death, and you don't even control your heartbeat. He does. Are you grateful? You know, but I looked at that. He said, one. And he with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. When was the last time we wholeheartedly thanked God for anything? We receive, but to say thank you, to fall down on our face with out of the gratitude of what he has done and what he has provided and how he's moving, amen. You know, he's the answer to prayer, but did you say thank you? You got you won the lottery, but did you say? When I said a lottery, it means he did everything you was hoping. I'm not talking about the state lottery. I don't play that. You know, but when we look at all these things, he said he with a loud voice. I mean, he wasn't in, the others heard him because it was loud. They hadn't gone too far. But did they pause and say, wait a minute, I need to go back and thank him too? No, they just kept right on. How many people in the church, amen, have come and received all that God has for them and just kept on going about their way? And I said, thank you. And thank you means you're going to do something. Thank you. I mean, the gratitude means it has changed something in you. Amen. You're not the same anymore. And as we look at this passage, he said he fell down at his feet and gave him thanks. And get this, he was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't usually have nothing to do with each other. So he's in a leper colony. When you got trouble, you kind of bind together with whoever it is. So he has things in common with these leprous Jews. And him being a Samaritan, he didn't take it for granted what God has done. But it's presumed that the other nine, being Jews, they felt like they deserved it. Think about that for a minute. I'm a Jew. You know, and we God's favorite people. I'm a Christian. And I know God gonna bless me because I gave my life to him. And now we in this partnership together. Really? How much of it have you done? You know, so I look at this and I say, my God, a Samaritan. One that was an outcast, one that, you know, even before he was a leper, he wasn't accepted amongst them. You know, and I think about sometimes even us, before we got saved, we still wasn't accepted by everybody around us. You know, and we had certain parameters, or maybe we felt like we didn't meet everybody else's parameters, and we felt like we was on the outside. But when I got saved, I got in the church, and all of a sudden, they still wouldn't accept me. Oh, my goodness. What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with God's people? We have a consumer mentality. You know, the music is not good enough. The service is too long. On the Lord's day, not hour, the service is too long. They didn't sing the song that I like. You know, I mean, I just want us to think, you know, this is not a production. You know, this is just, you know, you didn't purchase the ticket to come, you know, to be at a gospel concert. This is a place that we come to worship our God and to give him thanks and to show him gratitude, amen, and to show him love for all the things that he's constantly doing on our behalf, amen, to recognize who he is. See, when the worshipers are singing, they're not singing to you, at least I hope not. And when you're lifting up your voice, I hope you're not serenading the person next to you. Because we sing and we worship for an audience of one.
Hallelujah.
And that's him.
Hallelujah.
You know, so when you say you don't like the song, it don't matter. It wasn't for you anyway. It was for him. You know, and we got to recognize that hey, when I go to church, it's not about me. I am not the center of the focus. I am not the number one in the room. Jesus is. And he should be always that, no matter where you are, on your job, in your car, in the supermarket, he is the focus. You know, even when we went to the supermarket and into the mall over there, amen, everybody couldn't get in. You know, because of all the things that's going on, which I can't go into, but, you know, you had to have a certain demeanor. You had to, you know, in order to get past the, because everywhere, and see, I want us to think about, everywhere, it's got guards, got metal detectors to make sure that who's getting in ain't up to something. All, just about every, you know, within the city, just about every hotel or every resident have walls built around and gates to get in because everyone's trying to protect what they have from the have-nots, if I can say it like that. You know, and it's just an amazing thing to see. And knowing that these people love God so much. But, you know, there's so many issues that's going on within the nations, in between the nations, to come together, you know, and to have unity to work together, that has been a challenge for centuries. Just like here, you know, we have challenges working together, you know, but we find out, amen, that when the people have a mind to work and they come together as one, as it talks about in Genesis, I believe the 6th chapter, when they built the Tower of Babel, amen, and they come together and they all have a mind to work together, what can be withheld from the people? Whatever they set their mind to do. So I think even when it comes to the church, if we would have a mind to get together and to work together, amen, there's nothing that we can accomplish. Especially when you're doing it for the glory of God. See, the reason he tore the tower down and confounded their language is because they were doing it to glorify themselves. So you can collectively come together to do wrong and accomplish it. Right? So why not come together collectively to do right for the glory of God and accomplish it? You know, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Why ain't 10? I mean, only one came back. But where are the 9? They gone on their way. You know, and I don't know, maybe, and you maybe, because I had to look at this myself and say, okay, was I one of the 9? Are you one of the 9? That it didn't pause and really thank him, and not just for one time. But every day that he gives us, every opportunity that he gives us to rise up and swing your feet over the bed that you have. I mean, one of the things that Adonai does, because so many people don't even have a mattress, you know, is their foundation goes and buys mattresses and gives and distributes. But, you know, you got a bed. You got a bedroom. You got pillows and blankets and comforters and, you know, you got all this stuff. And you're grumbling because you got to get out of bed. I don't feel like going to work. And I've been there. I'm not just throwing rock. You know, I'm like, but to learn to be grateful.
Thank you, God.
I got a bed. I got legs that move. Yeah. You know, we were riding down the road in a little narrow median, not much wider than this, literally. There's a little man sitting there. Traffic's flying by on each side, and he's sitting there. His legs are all curled up, and he's sitting there in the middle of the highway hoping somebody would give him something, hoping somebody would have mercy on him. But we got legs. Hallelujah. We can swing out the bed and do our own thing. Help us, Lord. The 18th verse says, they are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Stranger, talking about the Samaritan. Not his people. Not, oh, good, help us, Lord. Not the Christians. Because we're busy. We got this to do and we got that to do. And don't let church interfere with my time or my schedule. Or don't let me pause too long to pray because I got to get to this and I got to get to that. And the kids got a game and I got to go to the store and I got to get a new dress for Sunday. And I got to, get some new shoes to go with that new suit I got. I got to do these things. Because God has blessed me with a job, but we don't say that. I'm laying it on thick on purpose. On purpose. Because I want to provoke us. Because I've been provoked. It's not the first time I witnessed these things. I mean, in my military career, I've seen a lot of things overseas. But this has been such a refresher. Such a eye-opener that you become comfortable too. Too comfortable. And it's time to, what was it said this morning in our prayer, elders? Stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. Stir up the spirit. Stir up the passion. Stir up our gratitude that has been covered with so much stuff. Because God knows me. He knows what I want. No. Have you asked him what he wants lately? We get so caught up in, what God has given us. What are we giving him lately? And if you was God, would you accept what you're giving? I want us to think. They can't help us. Got to have it. Our schedule, and the strength he gives us, we use to do our thing. Help us, Lord. So I look at these and I say, wow, how much of the church would be a part of the nine? How much of our society is a part of the nine? When we look at this, only 1 out of 10, 10%. And I look at statistics all the time, and I see the statistics of how Christianity is on such a decline in our nation. And we begin to transition back to a godless nation. No, even the trip to Dubai stirred me spiritually. And I have a greater appreciation, for how the Muslims practice their faith. Not that I'm a Muslim or, I've been conformed to trend. But if you're going to believe something, believe it. Live like you believe it. And we looked and, we went to one of the mosques, a big mosque down when we went down to Abu Dhabi. And it's a huge mosque. I mean, place is so palatial and beautiful. And he began to tell us all these domes, like 20 or 30 domes. I forget how many they have on there. Big, not small at all. The little domes that they have up there on the mosque. And he said, every single one of these domes is covered with real gold, 24-karat gold. You can't get to it unless you climb it. You try to climb it, you're going to be in trouble. But he said, The expense, they spared no expense in setting up something, a temple to worship their faith. You know, I look, you know, the infrastructure of the country is designed around their faith. You go to the movies, you go to, in the bathroom, you go to the, you know, to the mall, and there's prayer rooms. You go in the bathroom, they got the bathroom, you go to the prayer room right there. You know, then we look, and you don't look, but you hear six times a day, the call to prayer. Loudspeakers throughout the city. Six times a day. How many Christians do I know that pray six times a day? Six times a week. Some things we can learn. You know, to have that kind of commitment, the infrastructure, and it just was like a slap in the face. You know, their infrastructure is designed to embrace their God, their faith, their prayer. Our infrastructure now is designed to embrace homosexuality, same-sex gender. Everything's got to have a bathroom that accommodates that. You got to have the right pronouns. You got to have this, that. We're becoming a godless nation, and we're wrapping our infrastructure around those things that God is not pleased with. Because, you know, one of the problems I feel it is because we become an ungrateful nation. For a nation that was founded on the Word of God, founded on Christianity, to be so far left, now I wonder why only one went back. I want to be one of the ones. Hallelujah. I say, I want to be, you know, one of the ones that goes back and says, thank you. Yes. And to live with gratitude and to be grateful every day for everything because I don't deserve nothing. But it's all by the grace and the glory of God, amen, for what he's done. You know, when we stop and think what God has done in our lives, yeah, we've been through some stuff, but you're still here. You're still standing. Hallelujah. Amen. God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's right there with you. You know, then I want to shift to another individual here in Scripture that shows some of a grateful response to what the Lord has done for. Now, in the book of Luke, the 7th chapter, you know, Jesus was doing some teaching and you know, and it picks up here, and he says, and one of the Pharisees desired him, starting at verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and sat at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman it is that touches him. For she is a sinner. He's judging her. She's so humble, she didn't even get in front of Jesus. She came behind. And began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair. And anointed his feet with oil. And he's judging her. He don't know what kind of woman this is. How much judgment takes place in our churches today? Because we don't like how somebody else is serving. We don't like how somebody else is worshiping. We don't like their style of music or they style of preaching or we don't you know, because it's not ours, because we know something about them. They ain't got no business doing nothing in the house of God. I saw their Facebook page. Lord Jesus.
Come on, come on, Christ.
So that's how we judge people's lives. I know there's some jacked up stuff on Facebook, but who are you to judge another man's servant? But we do those things and we justify ourselves within because I'm holy. Run your filter through God's word. Help us, Lord. He said, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Because he didn't say it out loud. Notice this, the text said that he said this within himself. You know how we do? Let me touch on that for a second. You know how we do? We got a whole conversation going on the inside about how Pastor David talking right now. He's talking, but he don't know me. He don't know me like that. God knows you. He knows your thoughts right now. Just like he knew this man thought when he was judging this woman. And he said, okay. He said, Simon, I have something I want to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. Because he didn't expect that Jesus was going to come at him. He thought he was going to say something good, like, I love your house, I'm going to bless you. He said, say on, I want to hear what you got to say. Because he don't know, Jesus just read your mind. And he said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? In other words, which of them is going to be more grateful? Which of them is going to have more gratitude? See, he's saying this woman is a sinner, and he don't even know what kind of woman, but you judging yourself is righteous. So if Jesus did something for you, you wouldn't have half the gratitude. You would have half the love for him because you feel like, well, that's all right. I was good. I was doing good even without that. You know, but he said, whoa. He said, which one would love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You right. You got that right. If I could say it like that. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see, now that he'd have made his point, now he turns to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. He said, see thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, let me illustrate. Now, see, why is she washing his feet? Number one, because you wore sandals. And there wasn't no concrete sidewalks. You walked through the dust. And your feet get dirty. You know, so it was customary that when you entered someone's house, that they would have a basin so you could wash off your feet. He didn't even get that when he got to Simon's house. But she came in and washed the dust off with her tears, wiped it with her hair, and didn't cease to kiss them dirty feet. All right. Because, you know, that didn't get them sanitary. You know how we like everything sanitary? And if someone touches something, we ain't going to eat it. But them children didn't miss a crumb. Because they weren't worried about sanitary. They were worried about survival.
Hallelujah!
But like she said, we can be so bougie.
So, yes, Lord.
They served my plate and their thumb was on the side. I need a new plate. Bougie! I think their thumb touched my food. Called the manager. Oh, y'all laughing, but y'all know. That's how we are. Because we so uppity.
That's it. That's it.
Because we expect, I want to be comped for this. Christian. Looking for every opportunity to get over on somebody. Christian. Oh, help us, Lord. But see, he says she didn't cease to kiss his feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. He's like, I know who she is. I know what she's done. Far beyond what you think she's done. I know the details. He says, so her sins, which are many, help, Lord, are forgiven. And for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. See, I think about the passage that said it's hard for a rich man to enter in. Right? Because sometimes we come feeling rich already. I don't need this. I don't need you. This person of this church is below my standard of living. My expectation. I need a big place. You know, with big screens. Skinny jeans. I need a big place. You know, so I can fit in and I can sit in the elite section. And then maybe I'll give my tithe. You know, maybe I'll feel like, come on, maybe I'll feel like this place is worthy of my presence. Are you grateful? Them people I seen are grateful to maybe have a Bible. Maybe. Maybe. And if there's a cell phone within the village. But we, like, I got to have the latest. They got a new iPhone coming out. When's it coming out? I got to go trade mine in. What's wrong with your phone? Nothing. It just ain't the latest. I need the one with crash detection. Why? You planning on getting in a crash? Huh? Huh? I need the one that's going to tell me when I fall. Why, you planning on falling? Huh? I thought you just need something to make a phone call. You know, but we have been indoctrinated into this false mindset of pleasure and comfort and convenience, so much so that we're no longer grateful, but we're critical. We got to a place, amen, to where if it doesn't meet our standards, we'll move on somewhere else. Because remember, it's about me. And that's where we're missing it. It's not about you.
That's right.
You know, over the last 6 weeks, we've lost 4 family members. You know, and even as I was thinking on yesterday, and telling my grandson, I got to get back so I can get this house sold. I mean, I'm still holding on to Dad's house. Not that I want to, but I just haven't had time to get it cleared out and you do the things Lord I want to do to put it on the market. Going on 2 years.
Lord Jesus.
And I'm like, sitting there empty. What someone would love to have. And I think, you know, that we've gotten so comfortable that, you know, we can do that. Yes. And I'm like, if I could just give it to somebody and just get them, but you know, it don't work that way in this nation.
Lord Jesus.
Huh? It don't work. I mean, you know, even to get into the park, you gotta be 55 or older, right? And then, once you're 55 or older, you got to have a credit score that's at least 730. Hey, that's just to get the application. Because we bougie. I'm gonna make sure if I say 700, I'm gonna weed out all those that don't. That's it. If your credit jacked up, you undesirable around here. Huh? You know, and we look and we have all these different matrices that we judge people by. And that same matrix, oftentimes we don't apply to ourselves. Because we're the ones setting the standard. Instead of his word setting the standard. But I look, and I want you to pause and think how God forgave all your sins. See, I know what drives me for many years. I know what the reason I love him so much. Because I know what he's done for me. And I'm ever grateful, and I'm ever thankful, and I'm ever reminded. You know, that's why Psalms 51 has been one of my favorite psalms for years. My sin is ever before me. Ever before me. I can't begin to think I'm something. When I know it was God that made the way. But see, what happens too often is we get out of the place and we forget where we came from. We forget what God has done for us. We forget where he brought us from. Amen. And we see ourselves in the mirror all gussied up. Amen. We think we all that. And then we begin to look at other people and say, you're not there yet. You don't meet my standard. But if they'd have known you when. If they'd have known you B.C., before Christ, what would they see? Who would they see? Would they want to be bothered with you? That's right. We got to ask ourselves, are we grateful? Are we grateful? And I look, he said to the woman, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Woo. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this? Who is he that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Say, in other words, I got you. Yeah. Don't worry about what they say about you. You know, I look, amen, and I didn't finish the passage with the lepers because at one point I want you to see. Amen. That last 19th verse, and he said unto him, talking about the leper, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Wow. See, the other nine were healed. But they wasn't whole. They still had issues. They still had problems. It may not have been leprosy. But they had pride issues. They had issues of self-aggrandizement. They had issues of feeling like they deserved what they received rather than being humbled and coming back like the one and saying, thank you. See, sometimes we move on, but we don't stay long enough in his presence. We don't honor him, and we don't thank him, and we don't show him enough gratitude, amen, so that we can be made whole. Get rid of the brokenness in us that feels like I need and I gotta have and I am. That's a bunch of brokenness, amen. When your life is all about you, when people got to meet your standards or cater to you, you know, as I looked at and think about that crowd of people that I'm looking at on last Sunday, and I'm thinking, like she said, they come from far and near. And I'm thinking in my mind, there ain't no way that this pastor called all these people this week. Fact is, most of them ain't got no cell phone. Most of them ain't got no phone. You know, but sometimes, well, the pastor didn't call me. I didn't save you either. See, we got to get our minds right. Our minds made up. I come here because I love God. I like seeing y'all. I really do. I love y'all, but I come here to worship. And I'm coming because I'm hoping I'm coming to a place where people are like-minded are coming to worship him too. Not to be worshiped. I was telling my grandson, and I've said this to many people over the years, if I could do everything that I do for the kingdom of God anonymously, I would. I don't need my name on it. I don't need to be up in lights. I would just do it. But see, that's not the way God set it up. You know, because notoriety ain't going to get me nowhere. It's him that opens doors. He proved that. It's him that makes ways. He proved that. He continues to show that. And that's for you, too. If we just trust him, if we just believe him. I know I got to quit in a minute, but I want us to think. I want us to rewind, if I can say it like that. You know, back in the day, we had the VHS, you know, the big tapes. And you go to Blockbuster to rent the tapes. And you're supposed to rewind it before you brought it back. Or sometimes they would charge you for not rewinding the tape, because they got to rewind it before they put it on the shelf. So in order to make you rewind it at home, you know, so someone else can watch it without having to rewind it. I'm saying sometimes we need to stop rewind. Look at your life again. Look at where God brought you again. Look at where God brought you from and what he did for you again. You know, sometimes you watch a movie, you don't catch it all the first time. You don't catch it all the first time. You don't get it. And because you're so busy, you caught up with that character while something's going on over here, you missed it. So I'm saying sometimes we need to rewind our life, amen, and go back and see what God really did and how he really did it and how he brought you out, how he made a way when you weren't even paying attention. He knocked that joker off. You need to rewind. And if we rewind and watch the movie again, we might be a little more grateful for where he's brought us from and what he's doing, amen, and where we are now. And we realize and recognize that it's not because of my goodness. It's not because I deserved it. Amen, I'm grateful because I didn't deserve it. I'm grateful because I couldn't do it. I couldn't earn it. I'm grateful because he did it when he didn't have to. But he chose to. Some people feel like, well, God let me down. What? When did you start setting the standard for God? Oh, I'm sorry. It's your universe. See, that's when we get in that places where I'm mad at God. You better check yourself. It's time for you to rewind. Because if it had not been for the Lord back there about the 2/3 of the way through or in the first 15 minutes of the movie, you'd have been dead. He's the one that makes the way. He's the one that continues to go before you. He's the one, amen, that's giving you the breath each and every step you take. Yeah, I just can't help but, you know, feel like we got to be more grateful. I know we got to be more grateful. Learn to be grateful. It's not easy. It's not. Let me say it like this. It's not automatic. You know what I'm saying? Because we live in a country where so much has been given to us. We live in a country where things. Oh, you say, well, nah, you know, one gave me nothing. Rewind. Amen. And don't attribute it to the man that said you hired. Don't attribute it to the man or the woman that handed you the diploma. Don't attribute it to the one that signed the deed so you could have your house. It was God. It was God. The times you were sick, he used the doctor to bring you through. The time you was depressed, he's the one that came and lifted you up. Times that you was mad at him, he still loved you. He still nurtured you and brought you back to a place where you could appreciate him again. Are you grateful? I pray that we all learn to be more grateful. To live this life with more gratitude. Oh, I got more passages. I got more. I'm not even done with Mary. But I want us to get to that place that we recognize, even in our shortcomings, even in the places that we know we ain't got no business being, his love, his grace, his mercy, his long suffering is there. Be grateful. Be grateful. I'm grateful when I was out there and when I was messing up. Amen. He waited long enough. And he loved on me long enough. And he gave me time to get my act together. And it was because of his love. Not because of me. Not because, I need to straighten up. No, the love, his love lifted. His love drew. His love changed. A heart that wasn't even looking for him. That wasn't even seeking him.
Yes, Lord.
I want us to ask ourselves the question as I close. Because I've gone long enough. Are you grateful? Am I grateful? Do I have gratitude for what God has done? And is that gratitude giving me a great attitude toward life? Even toward the difficulties of life, you can still have a good attitude. This too shall pass. You know, I was listening. I seen something to Pastor Linda the other day. We was at the store, and I forget what the conversation was, but I said, you know, this didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And she said, wow. I said, I heard that on the radio. I can't claim that. But it's true. Sometimes we look at where we are and what we're going through. But I remember how he said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'm not there by myself. He said, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I think about that. I say, I'm just going through this. Sometimes we find ourselves in a difficult place and we feel like we're all alone, but that's a lie. The enemy wants you to feel like God is a bad. No, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Even when you're in your lowest place and your darkest hour, I'm right here with you. And my rod and my staff are with me to comfort you and to lead you out of this place. To lead you back to the mountaintop. But the problem is that oftentimes we get in the valley and we drop our backpack. We get out our bedroll and pitch a tent. And we choose to stay there for a while. He said, you're supposed to be passing through. And it's only what? A shadow. It's not death. You ain't gonna die here. I don't know if I can make it. I just don't know. Who's your God? I can do all things through Christ. Huh? All things through Christ who strength. I'm never alone. Mama might leave, daddy might leave, parents might leave, husband, wife, whatever, but I'm never alone. Because he's right. If you're a child of God, I mean, we got any children of God in here?
Hallelujah.
See, so he's always with you. in the darkest hour. When you mess up, he didn't turn his back. He said, come on. You can do better than that. I got you. I still love you. You know how little babies do when they get their arms up to daddy? You know, our mama and the diaper so heavy is hanging down. And you know, I don't know if I want to pick that up. But Jesus scoops you right on up. Come on. I got you. And I will change you if you let me. See, I'll change you if you let me. You just got to let him. Let the love of Christ, the nurturing of Christ, teach us how to be grateful. And remember this as you stand. And like I said, you can take me to task and we can have a conversation. You don't have a right to complain. And that don't mean you ain't going to go through nothing. That don't mean I'm not going to go through nothing. But if this is all I got to go through, is this I know I'm going through, but I'm not by myself. That me and God, me and the Holy Spirit are majority. We got this. No matter how many come against you, he got you. So ask your neighbor to your left and to your right, are you grateful? Are you grateful? Because I know that all of us in here, all those online could be more grateful than we are now.
Almighty.
So let's learn, let's practice gratitude. When things look rough, he said, Jesus said, I'm near you. I need it right in your mouth. If we just call, he's right there. And I've learned over the years, no matter what's going on, if I just call on the name of Jesus, the atmosphere changes.